So we're starting off on a totally different problem. Okay. Question is, they have an ani, or I'm sorry, they have a regular guy who's on the road. Being that he's on the road, he's poor. He doesn't have stuff. He doesn't have food. So he's in a condition like of anias, right? I mean, he has a lot of money at home, but he's not home. He doesn't have anything with him. So the question is, could you take manas aniyim in this state? So the answer is yes. You could take laketcha chlapeya maizroni. Machlokas is, does he owe the aniyim when he comes back? So Rav Elazar of someone, Rav Elazar, Levi Eliezer, says he has to pay. Okay, when he comes back to civilization or whatever, to his home, he owes the aniyim. He has to pay them back. And the chacham say no. And he say, look, he has money at that time. At that moment, he has money. That's it. Right? That moment, he has money. They got it. So the aniyim doesn't have to pay back his debt. So our mama says, because the Rambam says it would be as if, like, a regular poor person comes, strikes it rich. Right? So he lives on stucco for 5 years and then he becomes rich. He doesn't have to pay back as that, so at that moment he was money.
What are you saying? The guy who's money and then becomes rich doesn't have to pay back?
Does not, right. The guy who's money for 5 years and then becomes rich, he doesn't have to pay back as that. So this guy, when he was on the road, he was money. Now, later he becomes an usher again. Well, whatever. Who cares? Right? Right. Okay. We'll leave alone for now how this affects our Gemara as an Gemara. Okay. But for now, I guess we just might as well try to explain this in the Zohar. Question is, I guess this is what I think Danny's approach is, that the mitzvah of tzedakah, and I like the angle you're taking it there. It's like what's on tzedakah is to take care of a certain need. Right. A guy has a certain tzarach. And they have to give the money to satisfy that need. Now, I'll say, what is a tzorach? So the answer is, it is a tzorach for food, I'd say. Right? So to get a tzorach for food, you have to give him food. Right? Fine. So now this guy, you could argue, has a tzorach for food. He's on the road, he has no food. So he's a tzorach. So that's what Ani means. Ani is a guy who needs food. So he needs food. Right? That's the Chamsai. He's an ani. Ani's a guy who needs food. He needs food. Rabbi Elazar says it's a simplistic way to look at it, to say he needs food. He kind of needs food, but he needs food differently than a real ani needs food. Because a real ani mamish doesn't have food. So he has a need for you to gift to him food, for you to give him food. This guy doesn't really need food. He has food. He needs, like, to hold him over to be able to get his food. He needs, like, a temporary food. And his need is not a need of the gift of food. It's a need of the feeding him for a few days till he could pay you back. Right? Because the nature of his need on a financial level is different than the ani. The ani mamish is in poverty. He needs food. He doesn't need, he's not that guy. He's an usher. His need is to hold him over. Right? And to hold him over. And then he doesn't need a cash. He doesn't need you to make his assets worth more. Because he has a lot of assets. He just needs the temporary thing. So you give him the food, but why should you give him the money, the value of the food? You should have to pay it back later. Right? Because he doesn't really need the value of the food. He just needs the action of eating right now. He has value. He's worth a lot of money. He has that. He just needs the food in his mouth now. So, but by giving him the food in his mouth, you're also giving him value. So he'll pay back. He doesn't need the value. Right? So, but the real one, he needs the value. He doesn't just need the food. He needs the value of the food. He doesn't have anything. Here you have value. You just can't access it, so you need the food now. But then give back the money later. But the other way of looking at it, that's Rabbi Lazar's, it's a unique way to look at it, is that you're looking at his tzorach, and like you're breaking it down conceptually and analyzing it. saying is, you need food, go out so fast. What do you mean by that? Right? Chachamim seem to look at it on a more surface level. They say, an uneasy guy who needs food. You need food, the halacha is you have to respond to make it food. They don't say, what do you mean when you need food? Do you conceptually need the value also? Or, you know, that's, you just, they just look at it on a simple level. You define the tzorach by the practical tzorach. Practically, he needs food. It's like, as Rabbi Lazar is saying, is the mitzvah of fulfilling the tzorach demands that you conceptualize the tzorach and you define it, and you know. Come, don't do that. They just say, whatever he needs, you have to give him. He needs food, give him food. He's an ani like any other ani. You know? The question is like, if you define, if you analyze and define his tzorach based upon incorporating the idea of long term, short term, what do you just say? It's tzorach for food, it's tzorach for food, he's an ani. Come say, like, the guy's saying, it's like, I'm hungry and I need food. Now you have to give him food. You don't give in to the, so you don't start getting a whole analysis of the nature of the need. You need food on a short-term basis. I mean, that's not the tzorach. Tzlaka is responding to it, to a primary need of a human being. And the primary need is for food. And if he's hungry, he's hungry. That's the tzorach. Rabbi Lazar's are positing that when you define his tzorach, you have to incorporate into it the nature of the need. Do you need the food, or you also need the value of the food? This doesn't mean like your state. It's a different type of a tzorach, and as such, it's gonna generate a different chiyuv of tzedakah. It's gonna look at Gwentavaz is that he needs food. He doesn't need the value of the food. As a meal mamish, a real ani, he needs the value. Food is worth money. Everything boils down to money. He's poor. He doesn't have anything, so he needs $100. He needs food. $100 are the same thing. This guy doesn't need $100. He's wealthy. He's a millionaire. He just needs food because right now he's in a state where his money can't be accessed. So he needs food. Right? But he doesn't need, but by taking the food, you're also taking the value of the food. But he has no need for the value of the food, and he has nowhere to take the value of the food. So the way it works out is that he takes the food and he creates a loan, a chov, for the rest of it, the value, and he'll repay the value. So this way he's not really taking the value of the food. It's like in taking the food, he gets to eat it because that's all he needs. He only needs to eat food, so he takes the eat experience and he repays the rest later. But that's like you're breaking down the tzorach into like conceptual components. I mean, you could just say tzedakah is a more superficial idea. As a guy is hungry, he has a need, you really take care of his need. You define it on a practical level. If you define it on a practical level, the tzorach is for food. If you define it on a conceptual level, the tzorach is for the utility of food without its value. You know, you could argue, as well as Chiddush, is that you define tzedakah, the need, basically, you know, you get into that level of conceptualization. You could just say tzedakah is a more basic, you know, it's based upon the basic tzorachei adam. You don't define it like that. Assuming this is good, so now what does Gemara want to do with this? Right, who cares? Why is this relevant to anything? Oh, so now you're saying, yeah, it's fine. So he takes the food, and now, according to Rabbi, he takes the food, and now he has to give the money, right? Okay, so now what happens? When he comes back home, he has to pay the ani. He has to pay back the aniyam. So which ani does he have to pay back? He's chayev. Chayev to who? Who's going to claim him? It should be ein latovim. So what do you mean he's chayev? Well, who's going to enforce that chayev? It should be the same problem. Just like you have a chayev, it's like, well, he has a debt now to aniyam. But why is it ein latovim? Same problem, right? So you see from here, apparently, even though it's ein latovim, you still, or you don't say ein latovim. You say, apparently you'll say, what does it mean? The first ani who sees him could collect it. So the same logic, the first Kohen who finds this guy who damages Manas Kunis should be able to collect it. Right? What's the difference?
We're not questioning whether it's a chiyah, we're questioning...
Well, chayav means, chayav, the Gemara is taking chayav means you're chayav to pay in the court. The court could force it. Otherwise, don't say chayev.
Right.
So, chayev means a court could force it. Now, why could a court force it? Why isn't a man el tovim? What does it mean? So, apparently, you say chayev means the first ani who comes could collect it. So, the Gemara wants to deduce from here. And Tosa says the same thing should carry over naturally that by coming also. If he's saying the first ani could collect, the first coming should also be able to collect. Right? That's what you have to explain. How does that match? How does it just carry over like that? They're not necessarily the same. Right, we have to rethink our Svarim and Latovim and see if it just is an automatic carryover, you know. And because the way we're learning in Latovim is has to do with the nature of Manas Kahuna. See, if you just learn Latovim, it just means could you have a Toveya without a Toveya? I don't know, some sort of generic idea. Then, you know, but we're saying is, what's the question? The question is how you understand Gemara's Kahuna. Is it to the Yachid or to the Shevet? You know, something like that. So Anias Masaniya might be different. So you have to show what's the sense of just equating the two. And then Tosa says, and the other way to explain why you're Pater from Masig Manas Kahuna is because Torah says, Zeh. You only have to give the objects themselves, not the compensation. So Tosa says, oh, how does that carry over? He says, no, Misvar, that also carries over to this case of Lekhev and Shecha. And Misvar, that also carries over. So the question also is, what's the carry? We have to understand how that is. And within each of these reasons, we have to understand how these things just naturally carry over.
Do you mean different reasons for each?
Well, it sounds like a Tosfos understand. Well, it sounds like Kuran Tosfos is like the further, the Enlo Tovim is just automatic. It's easy, Pasha. He doesn't even have to explain that. The other one needs a little bit more of a move because it's based on Yosakasich, you know? And given that they're different Svaras, so presumably again, if it's not, I mean, maybe it's similar, but you have to apply it by both cases, you know? And the Gemara, so the Gemara tried to use this to show, right, to prove this, that you could, that the common will collect. But the Gemara rejects it and says, no, it just means Chasidus. When it says he's chayav to pay, it just means Chasidus. It's really Pater, halachically, you can't force it. It just means Chasidus. So the question is, what's that idea means Chasidus? You know? What does he mean by that? And we should get back to the Ran, because the means Chasidus ties in with the Ran. So when we have this discussion, if you try to remember what the Ran had said, may play into the means Chasidus. Because you could learn Mizrahi, this means Lassidei Shemayim, like Rashi tries to learn. But the Ran held Pater means Mamish Pater, even Lassidei Shemayim, 100% Pater. So but he says it still is Mizrahi Chasidus. So what's the sense of Mizrahi Chasidus? Where does that come from? So I guess we could try to do these things.